There's been a huge surge of high schoolers using e-cigarettes or vaping. E-cigarettes, though, carry a number of health.
The popularity of e-cigarettes and vaping continues to rise.
3 million high school students this year using e-cigarettes, up more than 75%.
And this week, 40 state attorneys general called on the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to regulate e-cigs just like it regulates tobacco.
We're here today.
The use of vape pens, electronic cigarettes, and other electronic nicotine delivery systems has exploded over the last decade or so, especially among teenagers. According to the Food and Drug Administration, more than 3.6 million middle and high school students used e-cigarettes last year. That's an increase of nearly 80% among high schoolers and nearly 50% among middle schoolers over the year before. The thing is, compared with traditional cigarettes, there's very little research on the effects, and the industry is booming. It'll be worth more than $40 billion by 2025. The FDA is the part of the government that would regulate e-cigarettes, and that agency has funded research at the University of Louisville in Kentucky.
So you'll hear this pinch valve make a click, and that'll start the puff.
We stopped by the lab and donned Tyvek jumpsuits to limit contamination. We were in the lab of Dr. Daniel Conklin. He and his team of researchers are studying the effects of vaping using a device that inhales from e-cigarettes and analyzes the vapor to study the effects on lab mice.
What we have set up here are a number of different parts of our contraption here to smoke cigarettes or vape e-cigarettes and then pump that aerosol or smoke, as we call it, into a chamber that we will house our animals.
And there's actually a little vape pen inside there.
Correct.
So it's acting like a person would be in vaping.
Exactly. So we can control the volume of the puff, so it's consistent with kind of the puff volume that people would take, and the duration. So the combination of those things kind of replicate what's in the real world. But I have to tell you, the real world's very diverse when it comes to electronic cigarettes. Some people just do very light drags on their e-cigs. Others take bigger puffs in order to make vape clouds and do cloud tricks and so on.
And what are you trying to figure out?
We're trying to figure out whether or not electronic cigarettes increase the risk of cardiovascular disease or heart disease. That's pure and simple. We use models that are short-term, such as looking for biomarkers of a youth who uses an e-cigarette just a few times. And we also do chronic exposures long-term to look for changes in the vascular wall of the blood vessels that look like changes that would occur in a chronic smoker.
What they found is that e-cigarettes are far from harmless, especially for the cardiovascular system. Conklin is looking for a link to diseases like atherosclerosis when plaque clogs your arteries.
The more long-term studies where we've looked at atherosclerosis as an outcome, we've done several of those studies, and as this is a really important endpoint, kind of a gold standard amongst cardiovascular researchers. So we've actually done those studies twice to validate that the findings we have are consistent. And we see increased atherosclerosis. We have not published these data yet because we're also interested in a second question. And this is really important. What in e-cigarette aerosols then are responsible for increasing this heart disease risk? Because the FDA is interested in regulating e-cigarettes, but they want to regulate particular constituents that are harmful. And so we're trying to figure out what components of the aerosol of e-cigs is contributing to the injury to the heart. Our idea is actually that nicotine itself is actually not benign under these conditions. And we have a number of other parallel studies where we've exposed animals to nicotine alone and seen increases in these markers of heart disease. So that's a kind of a troubling thing for anybody who says e-cigarettes are a safe product. If they contain nicotine, they're not only addictive, they're problematic for heart disease.
Is it difficult to research something that's so new? I mean, 5 years ago, nobody was smoking these things, or at least you didn't see them out on the street the way that you do now. People are vaping all the time.
This is very challenging to study individual products. You know, 5 years ago, Blu was the king of the e-cigs.
Now it's Juul.
You're exactly right. And the products have changed in size and shape, voltage. Some of the constituent flavors have kind of varied. Some of them you can't even figure out what flavorings are present in there. Gummy bear, for instance. Tell me what flavors are in there. And Juul has raised the roof on the level of nicotine. Personally, I think anybody who sees the uptake of e-cigarettes amongst youth should be concerned about long-term consequences for these people, because we just don't know what the health risks are.
Because there's so much focus with smoking on lung cancer. What you're saying is it causes a lot of other problems as well.
There's no question that epidemiology says, you know, 500,000 people die premature deaths due to smoking. And that's just cardiovascular disease. So, and that's more than any other single cause of disease.
And that could be just as bad in an e-cigarette as in a traditional cigarette, or at least it could be bad enough that it's a problem.
I think there's some warning signs for heart disease with electronic cigarettes. And these are not just from our animal studies. I'm representing a number of studies done around the world that show that acute exposure to e-cigarettes, including in non-smoking adults, produces a temporary injury to the blood vessel that's equivalent to that same non-smoker using a conventional tobacco cigarette. So that's worrisome.
There are also some people that point to e-cigarettes and say this is a way for people who smoke traditional cigarettes to stop smoking. They can turn to this instead. When you hear that as somebody who's researching the effects of the e-cigarettes, what do you say?
Well, I don't actually study cessation, so this is a little bit difficult to say my research applies to this question. It's a really important one, because for those people who are trying to quit smoking, that would be the best thing for them, but it's very challenging. It takes at least 6 attempts on average for a chronic smoker to be able to quit. If e-cigarettes outside of traditional pathways can add to that improvement in that number, I say great. In the U.S., from my knowledge of this area, is that cessation has not been improved by inclusion of e-cigarettes. And there could be risk switching completely from cigarettes to e-cigarettes, because we don't know the risks of e-cigarettes. Presumably for cancer, we think that might be a reduction, because the cancer-causing compounds in conventional combustible cigarettes are not found in e-cigarettes. So that would be great, except more smokers die of heart disease every year than they do of cancer and lung diseases combined. So we don't want to say reducing the risk for cancer necessarily reduces risk for all other diseases.
Daniel Conklin's own father died of colon cancer at age 46 and was a longtime smoker. That experience spurred him to spend his life researching the effects of smoking and now vaping. The leading e-cigarette company, Juul, is also doing research as it prepares to apply for FDA approval in 2022. But the company remains under legal pressure, not just from the FDA, which has been conducting an investigation into marketing practices by e-cigarette companies, but from Congress, as well as state and local governments, some even going so far as to try to ban sales of e-cigarettes. Today, San Francisco's city supervisors will consider a ban until the FDA completes its review. That ban would be the first of its kind in the U.S. on a relatively new product that we know relatively little about.